You are listening to the Men's Ministry Roundtable. We are a ministry of Christian Assembly Church in Los Angeles, California. I'm your host, Marvin Enriquez, and this is How We Get Down. Well, good morning, and welcome to another exciting edition of the Men's Ministry Podcast, the Roundtable Podcast. My name is Marvin Enriquez, and we are here live around the Roundtable. Today is December 12th, 2019, and this is a holiday edition of the Men's Ministry Roundtable. We got some new microphones in the studio today. We got Peach Bellini candles lighted.
It smells good in here.
It smells good in here.
It's a little love fest.
And I've got some honorable men around the table. I'm going to start with the most honorable. Dave Knight is our special guest today.
We're going
to be here.
Introduce him in a few minutes. But Dave, say hello.
Hello.
Good All right. Here. And around the table, we've got George. Don't call me a drinker, Fernandez.
What the heck is that?
Good morning, everyone. Good morning.
Good to be here.
And Robert, I just got out of bed. Concepcion.
All right. Yeah.
With a smile on his face.
Hey, Robert. You guys have an exciting event tonight for the Filipino community at CA, right?
Yeah. Unfortunately, this is going to be taped, so I can't invite our listeners to come because it is tonight.
But still, tell us what you're looking forward to.
Oh, yeah. Just the Filipino community at CA are gathering tonight for Christmas gathering, and it's going to be at 6 o'clock at the north side.
What kind of activities and food will there be there?
Not so much activities, but just a chance to gather a lot of guys from different services. You know, we have different service times, and a lot of Filipinos end up going to different services, and this is an opportunity for us to just gather and just meet each other and get all the life groups, in fact, together and spend the holidays and just enjoy it and celebrate it.
And tell us about the food. I've been to these parties, and I know the food is epic.
Tell me about the food.
Well, I mean, I can't pronounce it properly, but I know that there's those little egg rolls, right? Those are lumpias.
Yeah.
And then the noodles, of course.
The noodles, yeah.
What do you call the noodles?
Yeah. Pancit.
Pancit. Yeah. Yeah, and then and then I've been to weddings where they have like the whole pig with the apple in his mouth and
you
just tear off pieces of pig. And
not this year.
Not this
year. Tear off pieces of
that's
pig.
That's what you do, dude.
That sounds so barbaric.
No,
they cut it.
I officiated this wedding and the father of the bride says, no, the pastor has to go first. So he invited me to do the ceremonial first tear. And he goes, just get into it. And I'm like, it's a pig. I don't know what to do. And he just tear a piece of pig off.
Is that true?
Look, man, that just because you had that happen to you doesn't mean it's a tradition for
everyone.
I didn't
say it was. I said this was my experience.
Okay. Well, no, this is not the case. Even if we had the pig tonight, it's not going to be a free-for-all.
Here's
the
pig.
Get in there and get your fingers ripping through the pig. No, it doesn't happen that way. It's chopped and it's served. But tonight we won't have the pig. But we have a lot of dishes prepared for tonight's celebration.
Well, great. I'm glad that CA makes space for our Filipino friends to gather and to celebrate together.
And how many guests do you anticipate having?
Wow, we usually there's about 180, 200 people show up. So we have a pretty good sized community out here in CA, and it's just awesome to just see all of them and gather in one place.
And you'll be sharing a word with them?
Yeah. A little Christmas message. And we have a special guest. I think one of our guys invited the Consul General of the Philippine Embassy to come attend tonight's celebration.
We should give him the first tear of the pig, then. Come on, that's a pretty important guest right there.
No,
right?
I don't know. It's just, no, we won't have the pig. But, you know, it's
We won't have a pig. Listen,
we're just excited for you guys, so hopefully that's a great night. What else is happening in your world, you guys? What's going on right now? What are you guys doing, planning? I know it's busy season. It's December, the 12th, like I said. And so I know we're in the midst of holiday time, but what's going on in your world?
Well, who has their decorations up already? Do you have your lights
on?
You got all your Christmas trees?
I'll tell you the truth. We have a very high roof line. And so my father-in-law came with his ladder. He's an electrician. 3 years ago when we moved into the house and put up the lights. The lights have never come down.
So year-round lights?
Oh, I have year-round lights. I unplugged them around January 15th.
Nice.
And then I just plugged them back in on December 15th. So, so our lights are always up.
Bulbs are not out?
No, thank God. Bulbs are not, because they'd be hard to replace them. Oh, bulbs are not out. Now, there were multicolored lights, and now I have like a blue and white thing going on. So I've got like the flag of El Salvador or something.
Jewish.
So my kids are like, "Dad, the bulbs are losing color." I'm like, "Yes, kids, but we have lights. So there you go."
That's all that matters.
That's all that matters. All that are your matters. Decorations up?
No, well, you know, it's been raining since, it was raining out the day after Thanksgiving Day.
Yep.
Usually lights go up during that time, but I postponed it, actually, and hopefully I'll get it up this week.
All right.
I'll get the lights up this week. George,
you want me to,
face in your face.
You want me to light?
Backtrack real
okay,
quick.
So now we know why we're lighting candles for you today.
All right.
Take the peach Bellini with you.
Okay.
All right, George. What do you have? What do you have up?
Why are you looking there? Nah. We had our last Friday we had our life group Christmas dinner, so that was really, really fun. We have a potluck, so it's always good to get together and just celebrate Christmas.
Did you cover your furnitures just in case any spillage?
No, these people have manners, and they're not barbaric like the men's group we had years ago, where they were just. Yeah.
So you have like a couples group?
Yeah, a couple. It's co-ed, so we have some single women, and then we have some couples as well. So it's a nice mixture, different ages and stuff. So yeah,
no,
pretty cool.
No pig.
People?
Well, you're Cuban. You guys do pig also,
yeah.
Right?
Yes, that was traditional. So that was my parents, but we. No, I don't do pig.
You don't do pig.
No, and I don't rip into it with my hands like an egg. No.
And Dave, do you have your lights up at your house?
On the inside, not the outside. So we're halfway there.
Okay. All right. So you plan on getting on a ladder at some point?
Yeah, we've got a big blow up Santa that we put up out front. Put up some lights, but we just. Yeah, been too busy so far to get that done.
Yeah, well, it is a busy time of year. And speaking of which, I thought about asking this. What are your favorite holiday or Christmas rituals that you and your families do? What do you guys look forward to around this time of year? Yeah, exactly.
I just remember this episode of Everybody Loves Raymond. Do you remember that one?
Well, I don't know which one. You haven't told me.
You looked at me like you knew which one.
No. Well, I mean, I know all of them.
I digress. No, I'm not going to put that on the air. So someone else answer.
Well, wait. What did Raymond do?
Let's go, George.
No.
What did Raymond do?
It was a tradition for Christmas Eve between he and his wife, Deborah.
And?
I'll leave it at that.
What was the tradition?
Well, basically, he would say that in the morning, she would get frisky with him. And then there was this one episode where she was, and the doorbell rang, and of course it was
Mom and Dad.
But he looks at her and he said, "What are you doing? You've initiated the launch sequence." I just thought that was such a great line. You've initiated the launch sequence. So they had to postpone the launch. Yeah, so I think that was a tradition.
So that's your tradition
household.
That you. So I'm talking about.
No, no, no.
Is that something?
I'm talking
that
about Christmas caroling, hot cocoa, and this guy goes to getting frisky with
launch sequence. Initially,
yeah.
The launch sequence.
Okay, let me ask the other side of the room because it feels like this is a garbage can over here.
Hey!
What are your favorite holiday traditions?
For us, it's always different because we're always with different families. So all of our families in different states. So every Christmas is different, but it's always hang out with family, eating food. If we're in Minnesota, one of my favorite things that we did a few years ago was playing ice hockey. We went out and played ice hockey all throughout the whole day, before Christmas, after Christmas, and that was a blast. If we're in Indiana visiting Shelby's family, they always have a tradition of making this certain meal on Christmas Eve. So we all go to church and then we come back and have the same food, and it's always just amazing food. And so, but every year is different because this year my family's coming out from Illinois. Mm-hmm. So I have no idea what we're gonna do, but.
Not ice hockey.
For sure.
Actually,
I don't know. There's some rinks out here.
Not all day.
So
they're coming from right outside St. Louis, and the Blues actually play the Kings, and so.
Oh, so you're gonna.
I'm working on trying to get some Kings tickets.
Yeah, what you were telling us, do you have box seats to the stadium? Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, just use those.
Yeah. Instead of cable boxing.
Yeah, well, that'll be fun to take them to see their home.
Yeah, see the Blues, the Stanley Cup champs.
Oh, are they? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You didn't know that, huh?
No, I did
you
not.
You should watch sports more.
We'll talk about sports in a minute, because I'm the sports guy on the show.
They were the underdogs.
But is hockey really a sport?
Last year they won,
but is that the thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Robert.
Is hockey really a sport?
I'm just giving him more time. Of course it is. Those guys have no teeth. I know
soccer
that.
With a stick. Right?
It's boxing and wrestling and skates.
Well, when we were youth pastors, gosh, like 25 years ago, one of the first things that we ever did with our youth groups is we took them to Glendale. There's a little theater there called the Glendale Center Theater. And we would take our youth group to go see A Christmas Carol. And that was, for Sandy and I, that was kind of like our start of Christmas celebration. And so we've been taking our kids about every other year. So we go to the Glendale Center Theater. It's a small community theater. If you guys are around the Glendale area, highly recommend it. It's next to the Porto, so you can always get something to eat at Porto's and go.
Oh, on Orange Street?
Yeah, on Orange Street, yeah.
Oh,
it's a
okay.
little brick building.
Yeah, I know exactly what that is.
Small little theater. Yeah, but they put on a fun little Christmas carol show, and you feel like you're in, Dickens era London, and
they still have that every year?
They have it every year. So we're going tonight. Mm-hmm. We're taking our life group now. We have a couples group at our house as well. And so we have like 30 people going tonight. So we're really looking forward to that. So that's one of the things that we've done throughout the years to kind of get us into the Christmas spirit. Anything for you, Robert?
No, I just like the, just family getting together. I like what Mark said, though, in his last sermon, when the tradition at his home where he gets to read the Christmas story.
Yeah. Do you do that?
No, unfortunately, I haven't been consistent with that.
Okay.
But I think I need to set traditions like that because it's made an impact on Mark, and I'm sure when our kids grow up, that's something they'll remember.
Yeah, I think it's so important, Robert, that even during this season, in the midst of, games and plays and all the other stuff that we do, that as men, we take ownership of that time.
Absolutely.
And make some space to bring people back to, let's focus, especially those of us that have kids, right, or young kids anyway, to focus on what are we celebrating, why are we celebrating. It's a really neat opportunity for us to lead our families in a spiritual time. So, Robert, I encourage you to do that. Mark's already, done that, and he's shared that with us. So, it'd be a good time for you to do that with your boys, right?
Yeah.
Actually, Lisa and I, we had a conversation that's what we want to start doing this year, is really cutting back on the gifts, especially with our, with our children, especially with our youngest with Kanan, because we really want to focus on the message and what the purpose of Christmas is.
Yeah.
Because he's 7 years old, and we don't want it to be, it's just about toys and all that, and he believes in, Santa and all that, but we want to start now moving more towards really what the message of Christmas is and why Jesus Christ came into the world and all that.
Yeah, yeah. You said something, and I don't want to butcher your line, but you said something at Huddle, in our Huddle group last night, about, you said, like memories over stuff kind of thing.
Stories over stuff.
That line was just so powerful last night. And I think it's a good time for you to, talk to your kids about, obviously they want stuff, but to really start making memories and talk about family stories and why traditions are important and why we do certain things over just the stuff of Christmas. Right?
And for those of you, because all of you have younger kids, I'm in a different season, so I also have, two older kids that are, one is married with a family, and our daughter Asia will be married in 6 months, and she'll start her own family. So Christmas becomes a little different because they each have or will have their own families, so it's harder to get together.
Mm.
So as parents, Lisa and I always said, what we don't want to do is put pressure on them that you have to come see us on Christmas. We would say, your family comes first. If you can see us, that's great, but they have families and in-laws and things like that. So
that's very mature of you, because I've already told my teenage kids, no matter where you're at, you better be here for Christmas, kids.
Well, he did
better be here.
What George didn't tell you, the checks will not be signed.
Yeah,
this
exactly.
Like, you're not here
for Christmas.
You
don't have to come, but you won't get your check.
You
won't get your monthly installment of your check that you get.
And nonsense.
Trust fund will not be renewed.
Your trust fund will not be renewed. I like that. Yeah. Well, speaking of stuff, we only have like 9 people that listen to the show, so I figured we could talk about what's the worst gift you ever got. I know. Think about that for a second. What is the worst gift you ever got? I mean, we've all gotten the ties. I don't know if you should, I don't know if people still give ashtrays anymore, but you know, in days past, our dads used to get ceramic ashtrays
for glass.
I'll tell you one for me, okay, as you guys think about it. When I was 15, my dad, who's not a very emotional guy, he wasn't the kind of guy that would light peach Bellini candles there around the house. He's a very, you know, blue-collar kind of guy. He hands me a gift, and I thought, oh, you know, he didn't really do gifts a lot. Mom would take care of the gifts. So he hands me a gift, and I'm opening it up on Christmas thinking, wow, this is, you know, I'm 15, and Dad's giving me something meaningful. Yeah. And he gives me a jar of Clearasil. which for you younger cats is like the proactive of my generation. It was like, you know, pimple cream, right? I guess I had a breakdown around Christmas, and he wanted to let me know, like, hey son, here you go, Clearasil, we'll take care of that.
No words need to be said.
No, not at all. So thanks, Dad. I love you.
Wonder how he talked to you about the birds and the bees, Marvin.
He didn't.
Oh, he didn't.
That's just not a conversation.
I thought he just wrapped something in the gift and said, hey.
No.
And what would that gift
wrap
be?
Like I said, unfortunately, you know, the communication and emotional tenderness was not his strength, and he wasn't raised that way, so no, we never had that conversation, unfortunately. Wow. Yeah. So how about you guys?
Did you have that conversation with your pups?
No, I did not. I did not either. I don't know, for some reason, it's just a different
generation.
Yeah.
I didn't have that conversation either.
Yeah. Did you, Dave?
No.
Well, we're gonna have it right now.
So, Dave, let me tell you.
I'm still waiting.
When a little bird loves a bee.
The launch sequence.
This is why you have the scented candle going on here, huh?
Exactly. Man. So any memorable bad gifts? You guys don't want to throw anything under the bus?
No, I can't think of any.
You can't think of any, or you don't want to say it?
No, I can't think of any.
All right. How about you guys?
I can't think of any.
One time I had a talking fish. You know, one of those fish that sings?
Yeah.
Oh, Nemo.
That's the,
yeah.
Who gave you
that? I
wouldn't
say that's bad, but...
Well, who gave you... I would say it's bad. Who gave you that?
An uncle of mine says, hey, you know, I think he just saw something in his garage wrapped up and says, Merry Christmas.
He gave you a talking fish.
Yeah, but
like
it
sang songs.
Yeah,
I've seen those.
Remember
those?
It would face you, and it would start singing.
That would freak me out.
Oh, man. I thought it was funny, though, but, you know.
How old were you?
It was 19 or something. You know,
you used to have a talking fish.
It's long gone.
Long gone. All right. Well, listen, guys, I want to thank everyone who listened to the show and wrote in about the Men's Retreat Ambassador Program. We have like 30 guys that signed up to be Men's Retreat Ambassadors. And what that means is in the next couple weeks, they're going to get a fun little swag box that we've curated for them. I learned that word this week.
What does that mean?
It just means that we put stuff together.
Created.
Yeah. but we've got a t-shirt that's going out to them. We've got a toiletry bag that's customized with the Men's Retreat logo.
Toiletry
Bellini
bag.
Candles.
We've got peach Bellini
there
candles.
With clear so
with that clear they can... with some pimple cream. They can set the mood in their cabin when they go to retreat.
Oh, wow.
Whoa! What kind of cabin are you having?
I mean, it's, you know, we want to encourage openness and discussion, and sometimes candles can help set the mood. But here's what it is Men's Retreat Ambassadors are going to help us spread the word about the Men's Retreat. They're going to invite 8 other guys to join them. They're going to get their choice of cabin assignments, so they can pick whoever they want as their bunk mates. And they're going to get a lot of other fun goodies. So we've got 30 guys that have already registered. They're going to get their goodie bag in the mail here in the next few weeks. But I've got space for maybe a couple more because I've got a few more t-shirts. And so if you want to become a Men's Retreat Ambassador, simply send an email to men@cachurch.com. Let me know you're interested. We also ask that if you have social media, I know not all of you guys do, but those of you that are on social media, if you would regularly just kind of post it, you know, screenshot when you register for retreat and then send it to people. Encourage guys around you to join retreat. Retreat registration, as Robert's going to tell you in a little bit, opens January 1, so we're super, super excited about that. And secondly, we hit a milestone. I know we joke about having 9 listeners. We actually had 1,500 downloads.
Woo!
Of this podcast.
Yeah.
So that's I don't know if that's enough for us to start putting advertisements on here and start making money off this thing.
Wow. Yes. George, how about that billboard in Colorado?
That's helping.
It's doing wonders.
That's helping. Yeah. So we're going to turn our time over to world of news and finance. And Dave's a financial guru as well, so feel free to jump in, Dave. But George, what do you have for us in terms of the world of finance? I know it's a holiday time. We're all spending lots of money. How do you control that? How do you set boundaries
actually,
on what you do?
There's an article that I just came across, and it applies to millennials, but I think it seems pretty appropriate for all people. And the question this year asks, who millennials expect to spend $100 or more on when holiday shopping this year? And the answer was
nobody, because they don't have $100.
They put spouse or partner. 60% answered that they would spend $100 or more. 49% for children, and 30% for siblings, and 21% for friends. So the vast majority plan to spend at least $100 on their spouse. And one of the things that we do at our household is, you know, we live on a budget, is because we think that giving gifts is kind of a big part of our lifestyle and our livelihood. So we have a line item on our budget called gifts. And what we do is every month we literally put money in this account for the sole purpose of giving gifts out, but then we expand it starting the summer. So when Christmas comes, we have kind of what I think is a somewhat significant amount in there. So in essence, Christmas is funded and paid for. Because for us, for our family in December, it's kind of an expensive month because not only is it Christmas, it's Asia's birthday and it's Lisa's birthday. So we have kind of three big things and my parents' anniversary. So it's kind of an expensive month. But the key to that I want to share with is you should have a budget. You shouldn't just go into Christmas and just buy things and hope to pay them off. You should already have the money set aside. That way it's in essence paid for. So when Christmas comes, you and your spouse, or if you're single, you've already decided, this is the amount that I'm gonna spend on gifts, whatever it is, whatever you deem to be appropriate. I have my own thoughts on it, but whatever you deem to be appropriate, put that aside during the year, and that's the amount that you're gonna spend, as opposed to going in debt, and then in January or February, scrambling to pay that off. So you have the plan already the year before, this is what next year looks like, I'm gonna start putting money away, and Christmas is paid for. I think that you should do that with all things, vacations and really any large purchases. But that's kind of how it works in our household, and it just kind of makes it easier.
George, who has access to that, to those funds? Just yourself or the whole family?
No. It's just Lisa and I.
Okay, so from there you divvy it up and say, hey, you know.
Yeah. No, it's not a free for all. It's not like the pig in the Philippines just kind of go in there and attack it.
So on Christmas Eve, everybody comes over to George's house.
Dad, give me the account number.
Well, he lays out stacks of $100 bills, and everyone just grabs as much as they can.
There it is, and then, you know, it's your option whether you come or not. We're not forcing you.
We're not forcing you to come.
We have the most popular house in the neighborhood.
We have a black duffel bag with unmarked bills.
It's not like Trading Places, no.
It's been funded since the summer, and it's been just piling up. And it's up to you whether you want to come or not.
You know, and also when they get cold, they can light the fire with all the extra bills.
That's where it is. You know, it's a centerpiece for their dinner table.
This is the nonsense that goes on, Dave. Okay?
George, it's a centerpiece for your dinner table.
Listen, I have.
Whether you come here or not,
I have a line item in my budget. It's called food and a roof. So that's there you go, kids. That's what you get for Christmas. Dave, do you have any other financial tips around the holidays that people can kind of grab a hold of? I mean, obviously, we're making fun of it, but this is a really healthy thing to have a budget, to plan in advance, and then not to go into debt.
Yeah.
Anything else you would recommend?
You know, I like what you said earlier, and as far as what we've been leaning more and more towards as a family and our collective family is using the money to buy experiences rather than gifts.
Yeah.
And so those can be more expensive, and I think budgeting is and preparing for those is good. And that's just something we've been doing as a family is we really haven't even talked about gifts that we're going to get our kids. It's more about what experiences we're going to do with them and do as a family. So I really like that idea.
Yeah. I mean, that's great. At the end of the day, I think your kids are going to look back and say, oh, wow, that Christmas when Dad got me the Clearasil cream. Or they can say, when we went to the hockey game with family, we had a great time. And I think we've been trying to do memory stuff too, because I think that they'll look back and appreciate.
Remember the story rather than the gift.
Yeah, absolutely.
I want to kind of share one thing, because it was a conversation actually I had this morning with my daughter, with Asia, is, as I said, she's getting married in May, and what we decided to do, Lisa and I, as families, we just gave her a gift for their wedding and let them decide how they want to spend it. So we gave her the gift, actually gave it to her today. I transferred the money to her account. But the point that I told her, which was true, is that we'd been planning for this for years. We had been saving money for knowing or anticipating one day she's going to get married. So we'd been putting money in this account. We literally called it Asia Wedding. We're putting money in, so I think she was like 18 or 19 years old, like a small amount. And then when she got into a relationship, we started cranking that up more. And then we saw it was a serious relationship, a little bit more. And then when she said she's getting engaged, we said, uh-oh, we need to really fast track it. So my point being is that we knew that this day, or anticipated this day would come, and we've been putting money away. And I think that's kind of a healthy lifestyle to have, is things that you anticipate will happen, to start doing things about it now, as opposed to waiting till the day comes. So that means retirement, that means, you know, if you have, you know, children's education, you know, wherever your financial situation is always trying to think ahead of time.
Prepare for it.
Yeah, just to me, saving is just saying no today so you can say yes to something tomorrow. So
that's great. That's good advice. Wow. Well, shifting gears over to the world of sports, I know Dave's a huge, huge sports guy and watches TV all the time.
I don't even know you have time for work with other TV to watch. This is crazy.
I mistakenly assumed that because Dave was the guy who kind of leads our charge for basketball at the men's retreat, that he was a big basketball fan, and I just assumed that he would watch it. And he comes in here and he says, wait, is there a thing called NBA? What does that mean? Do they show the games on TV? So apparently he's not as current. But anyway, we're about a quarter of the way into the season. I know George is excited about the way his Celtics are playing. We're excited about the way the Lakers are playing.
And the Clips. Yeah.
True story. I was trying to, speaking of memories, right, our son is going on a mission trip in February to Australia. So before he leaves, I want to try to take him to a Laker game. Man, it is expensive to go to a Laker game. You know, the nosebleed seats are north of $100, right, for a ticket. And so, you know, you get really bad seats for $100+. And then I looked at Clipper seats. I was able to get the same seats for $25 for Clipper games.
It still hasn't
caught on.
That just tells you
where the heartbeat of our city is. We're a Laker team. So anyway, what do you guys think so far about quarter way into the season? Who's having a really good season? Who's disappointing you guys? Who's our MVP so far? Yep.
I would say the surprise so far this year, I'd say for me, it's Dallas. I didn't think Dallas would be that good.
Dallas is good. They got that 1-2 punch, right?
And Luka is, to me, I thought Luka would be good, but he's great.
No,
he is a great player. I think he's in the conversation for being possibly a top five player.
Yeah.
He's 20 years old.
He's going to be hard to contend with for many, many years. He's a triple-double machine. He can score. He can pass.
Plays under control.
Yeah.
And he looks like a great
and
teammate.
And now he's got a good, you know, big to go with him. So.
Yeah, and he's young.
Yeah.
So
Dallas is looking good.
Yeah.
The Celtics, how are they doing?
Celtics are balling.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What's their record?
18-6.
All right.
And so they're second in the East.
Second in the East.
Yep.
Milwaukee's first, obviously, yep. But they're
they
doing
just
great.
Got Gordon Hayward back, so I think they'll make some noise if they're healthy.
Yeah.
They're a good team. Yep. I think Milwaukee's scary.
Milwaukee is scary. You know what, though?
They're scary.
Milwaukee, to me, feels like, I mean, obviously, they're going to go as...
Freak.
As the freak goes. Antetokounmpo, right?
How do you say it?
Antetokounmpo?
Yeah. You say it Spanish. He's not Spanish. He's Greek.
Well, Greek and Spanish have a lot of, you know, Latin roots there.
That's close enough, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know they don't. Anyway.
And they blew up. They really did a number on the Clippers just like a week or so ago.
Yeah.
They beat them by... like handsomely. So.
Yeah, the Lakers play them, I think, this week, so that'll be fun to see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, over on the West, though, you know, the Lakers playing well, and particularly We're playing a defensive style of basketball.
Wait, wait, why'd you say we? You're not on the team.
I am. Okay. I'm the honorary water boy. The Lakers are playing a really fun but defensive style of play. I mean, you know, they're holding teams. They held, Orlando's not a great team, but they held Orlando to 9 points in a quarter last night. Think about that. 9 points in a quarter. An NBA team.
You're right. Orlando's not a great team.
They're not.
11-13.
They're not. But, I mean, they're an NBA team. These are professional players. Yeah.
What'd they hold them to?
9 points in a quarter.
Yeah, wow. What about for the game?
80-something.
No, that's...
I think that's the new Showtime.
They got anti-Showtime,
but it's working.
And they have a former Eastern Conference coach. So they
Eastern
play,
Conference
they play
coach,
defense.
They have strong bigs that all play defense. Dwight Howard is motivated.
Oh, he's showing up.
Obviously, Anthony Davis is making a case for Defensive Player of the Year. So is Antetokounmpo.
Who?
The Greek guy.
The Guatemalan guy?
The Guatemalan guy. You say his name. I don't know.
I can't.
Yeah.
You know, just a side note on Dwight Howard. I was just reading an article about him, and he said that the reason for his great play this year is because he's learned to let go of bitterness. Hmm. And that was his key to be able to free him from all this baggage that he was carrying all this time.
Well, he got ran out of town his first time in the
NBA.
Yeah. So, you know, for him to come back and be embraced by the fans are cheering him. I mean, they're
absolutely
really loving him. It's a different Dwight for sure.
Yeah. But people generally want to give him a second chance.
Yeah.
You know?
And he knows his place on this team. He's a bench guy. He's not the starter. He's not the point person.
Expectations are low.
Yeah. Just play hard.
Seems to fit his personality differently better. LeBron MVP.
He's certainly in the running.
Could be.
He should be.
Should be
top three.
Yep. Yes, Dave Knight, we have LeBron James here.
I know that he's on Lakers. He and Kobe are killing it.
Yeah.
All right, well, before we get to Dave, quickly, Robert, tell us what's happening in the world of men's ministry and what should the guys be looking forward to?
Yeah, men's gatherings happening next year. Next year, first week, January 8th.
Yep.
Put that on your calendar. I know it's going to be a busy season for Christmas and all the holiday fun, but... First week that we come back,
you know, fun story. January, we track attendance, obviously, but January is our highest attended men's gathering traditionally. You know, you would think people are still on holiday break, but for the right reasons, men decide to start the year by gathering and meeting with other men. So we're excited about January 8th as our first men's gathering.
Yeah, I want to encourage you guys to just keep up that tradition. Show up January 8th, and it'll be a great way to, you know, kick off the new year. Next year will be the year that we'll be having two men's retreats. So I think a great momentum will really get that going in the right direction.
Yeah, that's a good point. We're having not two retreats, but one retreat on two different weekends because it's the same program. Oh, so guys can choose which weekend to attend. It's the same content though. April 24th through 26th, May 1st to 3rd. When do registrations open up for that, Robert?
Retreat registration opens up January 1st.
So go online January 1st, go on the CA app, register for retreat. We'd love to have you guys join us. What's the cost of the retreat this year?
What is that, TBD?
No,
determined?
No, it has been determined.
Oh, it has?
Yeah.
Oh, it's on the website. Go visit the website. When you register, it'll show up.
It'd be easier if you just told us now.
Yeah, you set the price.
Yeah.
What was it?
I don't know, Marvin. Tell me the price.
Are you okay there? Do we need to take a restroom break?
You know what? Hey, how much is it last year? $120.
No, really? $120?
Wow, I would have gone to
When was the last time you paid for a retreat, Robert? It hasn't been 120 for like 20 years.
Well, you know, I think we're giving them a discount for early bird, right?
No, we're not.
We're losing momentum.
Okay,
Lifeline.
I set you up on that because I didn't tell you how much the retreat cost. It's $199 this year.
Wait, $120 sounds better.
It does, but it's not true.
Okay.
$199, but $100.
We said that I can't be $200.
$100 deposit gets you in the door. So you can go online, pay your $100 deposit, or pay the full price. So, join us on retreat this year.
Nice assist, Marvin.
Hey.
Set me up, throw me under the bus.
Lob City, baby.
There you go.
Well, listen, we want to turn our attention to our special guest, Dave. We're just so grateful that you're here. We're trying to open this podcast up to men in our community whom we respect and we trust. And obviously, you're one of the first names that came to mind. As someone that we wanted to have on this show. Reason being is you know, I've seen the way you carry yourself, both in business but at church. Again, we talked about you helping us at retreat with the basketball stuff. But more than that, I've seen some of the work that your team does at the Elizabeth House, and even just the way, you know, how active you are in terms of helping us encourage men to joining on these activities and things like that. So we just wanted to chat with you. So thanks for making the time to be here. Dave's in a full suit, guys. We're all sitting around in jeans.
Hold on. I need to add something, because when I saw Dave this morning, he looks sharp as usual. And I was just sharing with him and Marvin that this weekend I cleaned out my closet and got rid of a bunch of dress shirts that I had that I don't wear anymore, and ties and suits. And I asked Dave, I said, what size shirt do you wear? Because I have, you know, my intention was to see if he'd be interested in some of them. And he told me what size he wears. And I said, well, this is the size I wear. And he said, well, those old shirts were cut differently, and they're really baggy and big. And I thought, man, what a shot. What do you mean these old shirts? What do you think, I bought them like in the 60s or something? These are fairly new shirts.
Listen, I'm
that just gives you another side to who this man is.
I'm a lot smaller than you, like a lot smaller. But if you have some jackets, I'd love to take them, because I bet you there's like $100 bills still in the pocket. So I'd love to have some of those jackets. So Dave, give us a brief bio on yourself. Tell the guys, you know, where you're from, how you landed here at CA in Southern California, what you do, all that kind of good stuff.
So grew up in a small little farm town in Southern Illinois called Greenville, and was raised there. Went to college up in Michigan, Spring Arbor University up in Michigan, which is where I met my wife. And we met our sophomore years when we started dating. And right after graduation, we got married that fall, so right around Thanksgiving time. And so it was 16 years ago, right about this time, we were packing up a U-Haul 2 weeks after we got married. We wrote all of our thank you notes for the wedding, like 350 thank you notes within a week. We just knocked them out all day long. We're just writing thank you notes, packed everything up, and moved out to LA. So drove out in a U-Haul and didn't know where we were going to live. We had somebody out here that was supposed to find us a place, so we just trusted that they would find us a good place. And there were bars on the windows of the house, and it was
Welcome in Highland to Eagle
Park.
Rock.
Highland Park, back before Highland Park was what it was today. Or is today. That's how we ended up in LA. So since then, we've got two kids, an 11-year-old son and an 8-year-old daughter, and lots of family kind of throughout the U.S., Florida, Indiana, Illinois, Minnesota, Michigan. So we always use our vacation time as a family. We always talk about how we don't have a family vacation. Our vacations are always visiting. A couple years ago, our kids had 11 grandparents and great-grandparents still alive.
Wow.
And so everybody has 12, and we only had one that had passed away. Wow. And so now they're down to 9. So it's always taking them on tour to see grandparents and great-grandparents.
Yeah. And how long have you and Shelby been married now?
16 years.
16 years.
16 years, yeah.
That's great. So you're in the world of real estate, and that can be a competitive environment. You seem to be thriving, just from what I'm able to gauge off of your social media feeds and your YouTube channel, which is very informative, by the way.
And from the suits.
And from his suits. And,
well, I have 9 viewers.
Obviously from the
or
suits.
10, I think.
Well, I'm one of your 9 viewers. I love watching.
And a rejection of extra shirts, so.
Tell us how you started in that business and what drew you to that, and you know, what makes you work on that.
Good question. I was actually about 12 years ago, I was working with. I'd gone through about 15 years ago. I'd done MDiv, and so I went through seminary at Azusa Pacific, and there met somebody who was the old high school basketball coach at Burbank High School. He was the women's coach, and he had quit that and felt called into ministry. So at about 40, that's when he transitioned over. And we met in seminary, and we ended up just developing a great bond. And he and I we got involved in a church plant together, and I was working with him. And it was really him that, as soon as I graduated, 07, he was the one that challenged me to see myself as a pastor and to do ministry in the business world. And that was my background. As I had started a boat dealership and a lawn mowing business when I was growing up, and so entrepreneurship was like in my blood. But the reason I got out of business was because of how greedy I had become, and for me it was just all about the money. So as a kid, like, I was so fixated on making money, and then when I became a Christian in college, that's when I just really felt my life changed, and I just really wanted to submit to what does God have for me. And so that's how I kind of came out to LA and got involved in the church and went to school, went to seminary out here. So it was really that relationship with him, and he challenged me, and we were at the point where we didn't have any money, and I was scared to death of thinking, I just went through a 3-year degree and going into the business world, I couldn't even imagine that. And he said, I'll give you my salary for a year.
Wow.
And so he gave me 100% of his salary for a year, which was like $2,600 or something like that. He wasn't paid a lot as a church planter, but gave it all to me because he could live off of his wife's money. And his name's Paul Kim, and he now lives down in Torrance. But his generosity changed who I was, and I learned so much from him. And so it was him that really gave me the money to be able to do that. And then I just started in day one. I hired a coach with some of that money, and I just said, I need to know what to do. You tell me what to do and I'll do it. And so every day I woke up, I exercised a little bit, got to the office at 7:30. And at 8 o'clock, starting at 8 o'clock, I'd talk to 30 people every day. And it was the compound effect of doing that every day without fail. Every day I talked to 30 people about buying or selling a home. So it was just rejection all day long. And it was psychologically, it was one of the hardest things I've ever done, because at night I would go home and I'd be so exhausted emotionally that I would lay down, and I hated laying down because as soon as my head hit the pillow, my alarm clock would go off. Yeah. It was like I was so tired that when I laid down, the alarm clock would go off and I'd have to go get rejected again. And so it was just because I didn't know anybody. I didn't have any connections of people that were you know, had the money to buy or sell a house. Most of the people that I'd worked with before that didn't have the money. I'd worked a lot with youth. A lot of my time has been spent working with youth. And so it was great, because as I made it through those first 3 years, then I learned a lot of great habits and developed a lot of great skills and learned to see failure as an opportunity to grow and learn and fail forward and fail often and fail fast. And that's kind of become one of the philosophies that I've had in business, is just learning how to fail forward fast. So that was kind of the journey that got me into real estate, was seeing it as a ministry and being able to help people and serve people. And I still do a lot of the same things that I did when I worked in the church, going to funerals and birthday parties and weddings. And
because, you know, that world is just, I mean, it's just as relational as pastoral ministry can be.
Yeah.
Because you're in people's lives, in their finances, in the nitty-gritty of stuff of their life, and it's a lifelong relationship, right? Because, you know, you buy and sell houses multiple times throughout a lifetime, and so you want to not only do that, and I see you as the kind of person who genuinely cares about a client and not just sees them as a client, but really as a relationship. Oftentimes people talk about business as mission, but I see you really living that out. So what are some practices that today you've set in place for your team to really live out that philosophy of business as mission?
That's a good question. I think my hope is that the best way that I can show the team is by just modeling and my values and what I do. I had an Old Testament professor. One of the questions that you asked me beforehand that I was thinking about was, I had an Old Testament professor say, he wrote a commentary in the book of Genesis, and he said that the burden of the fall was that we now have to choose between good and evil. and we're plagued with so many decisions every day of choosing the good and evil, and it's a burden to carry that responsibility. And I think when we're in business, we're financial advisors, we're out in the business world doing whatever it is, we're plagued with the opportunity to do evil and to basically help people make decisions that's best for us rather than what's best for them.
Yeah.
And even today, I have one of my appointments this afternoon. I've run, somebody called me that wants to sell their house, and I have all their information about how much they owe, when they bought it and everything. And they haven't thought about the burden of capital gains, and they're going to lose probably $300,000. So it's probably not going to make sense for them to sell. It's probably going to be smarter for them to keep this house. And so I think as far as how do we minister to people in the business world, I think it's the habit and the discipline of figuring out what's best for them and always advising based on what's best for them, not what's best for me. And to really be able to walk away from a business when that's going to benefit that person more. And I tell people it took me 10 years to become an overnight success. My perspective of success is I look 30 years down the road. And as long as I do the right thing for people now and help do what's best for them, even if I don't benefit now, eventually that'll pay off.
Right.
And even if it doesn't, you still do it.
Yeah.
Nice.
That perspective of, and I think the biggest challenge I see in people in business that come in, maybe that's newer realtors or people that I come across, is they want instant success.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like scripture teaches that you gotta look at the horizon and see that as your destination rather than looking down at your feet right now. Because if you make decisions based on what's best for you today, then you're gonna not always do what's best for others.
Right.
So.
Yep. Yeah, and the dollar that you make today, if it's not done with integrity or with putting the client's needs first, it's just a dollar. But you're really looking down the road at a relationship, and ministry can be the same way, right? There's things that CA does that don't immediately lead to people attending our services. For example, I mean, the Kids Help program is a great example of that. You know, we go and serve the local elementary school, not because those kids are going to attend, although our hope is that someday they would, right?
Right.
But sometimes it might take years, you know, from first through sixth grade before they'll attend a middle school camp with our 6, 7, 8 students. Mm. And we've invested in that relationship for 6 years, and sometimes that doesn't even happen then. But just to know that they had a church down the street that loved them, that cared for them, that mentored them. And those families know that as well. So so that's good. You know, one of the things that I see is the way you and your wife have created space for your family. You've talked about it some already here. What are some of those non-negotiables? How do you protect that space? Because real estate can be all-consuming. Friends that I know that are in your profession say that, you know, weekends and nights are oftentimes you're out and you're working because there's open houses and there's showings and all these kind of things. How do you and Shelby partner to create a space where you're caring for the boundaries of your family?
So using that word boundaries, there's a book called Boundaries.
Yeah.
You read that. So starting in real estate, I just got done reading that, talking about that, and so we basically framed the way that we operate from that, using that book starting out. And so we've always had time where we'll just take time off. So for example, like for Thanksgiving, I was gone for 2 weeks and had my phone off for 2 weeks. So having the right people around me has been able to help me do that. So I've had others that basically deal with everything and handle everything when it's needed. But I think it, and there's times where I struggle with that, and I'll be at home and I've got an important transaction going on, and the clients are I know that they're going to be texting me, and they just want that information quickly, and so there's definitely an ebb and a flow.
Mm-hmm.
There's times where I'm really disciplined and turning off the phone when I get home, and for the most part we do dinner tonight or dinner every night at the same time, unless it's soccer or, you know, there's always the rare cases where something else comes up. But we've always just had those pretty good habits of turning it off. And I think I remember hearing a lot of pastors talk about not wanting to sacrifice their family on the altar. And I just living it, hearing from their mistakes that they made was, you know, you get a phone call about somebody that is dying or something. There's always something, and learning how to have that discipline, that habit of just being able to turn it off. And like I said, sometimes it's easier than others, but for the most part, she's done a great job, and I've done an okay job, so we still smile.
Yeah, and I like that phrase that you said, ebbs and flows, because even in ministry, right, like we're heading into Christmas season, so like my family knows that you're for the next 10 days things are going to get crazy, and we're going to have Christmas services here the next weekend or in 10 days or so, and that whole weekend I'll be at church, and then I'll take 3 days off and enjoy Christmas with them. And so it's just, you know, kind of navigating those seasons, because there are certainly times where you're not going to be able to be home at 5 p.m. and every night, but then you make up for it. So that shouldn't be, if that's consistently then the norm where you're out all the time, that's when it becomes dangerous, right?
Yeah. And I think one of the keys I found is that who I surround myself with matters.
That's
so
good.
If you become like the people you surround yourself with, then are they a cultural fit for who you want to be?
That's good.
And a recent example was this last weekend, I needed somebody to fill in for me because it was my son's championship soccer game. And I wanted to be there.
Of course.
I don't want to miss that.
Yeah.
And so somebody else made a sacrifice on my team so that I could do that. And then there's a time where I'm going to need a sacrifice for them, mm-hmm. so that they can do that. So as long as we all have the same values with the people we surround ourselves with at work, then I think that it helps create that environment.
That's really good, Dave. I hadn't thought about asking you this question until just now, but you talked about a couple of key coaches or mentors early in your professional life. What are something that you can share with someone who's maybe starting out in that world or in the world of business in general that you picked up from those early years that you'd want to pass along?
Well, even the philosophy of coaching, I mean, smart people learn from their mistakes and wise people learn from the mistakes of others. So to invest money in your mind and invest money to learn from other people's mistakes and what they've learned from us is, I think, the smartest thing to do. If you look at professional athletes, how many coaches does a golfer have? How many coaches does a basketball player have? I mean, they've got a jump shot coach, they've got their team coach. There's multiple coaches that teach about this certain elements of the game. And so I think in business, having a coach is one of the foundational things to do. Is don't try to do it yourself, because if you do it what you've always done, you'll get what you've always gotten. So you have to make changes. You got to do things differently if you want to get different results. And when you're starting a business, you're starting in a certain field, don't do what you think is right. Follow models and systems and listen to what other people have done, and don't try to figure it out on your own.
You don't always have to recreate the wheel.
Yeah, right. Well, that's good wisdom for, I mean, any field of life, right?
Yeah.
Whether it's ministry, business, anything. George, Robert, I don't know if you guys had any questions for Dave.
No, that was great to hear from you. It was really just some godly words. Yeah, it's great to hear your story, and just it's really neat to see how you're allowing God just to weave through your life's experiences and just being not only open to that, but encouraging God to use you as a tool in His hand. It's really great to see.
It's awesome. Yeah. It's good. Dave, somebody's out there maybe wants to get a hold of you or ask you questions or pick your brain about that world. How can they get in touch with you?
You can connect with me on Facebook, or you can email me at Dave Knight, DaveKnight @kw.com. and that's my private personal email. So
there you go. So now you have his private personal email, so you can have fun with that.
Yeah, you may have access to the tickets that he has. Laker tickets.
Floor seats.
I wish.
Seats, yeah.
I wish.
Is that a perk for people who end up doing transaction with you?
Yeah, they get tamales.
They get tamales. Hey, that's just as good. Well, Dave, thanks for spending some time with us. I'm sure you've got better places to be.
we're looking at this as 54 minutes. He'll never have back again in his life.
I don't know. That Peach Bellini candle's kind of got me captivated.
Starting to settle in.
Yeah. You're gonna go home and tell your wife, you know what we need in this house, Shelby? We need some Peach Bellini candles. Let's go to Home Goods and buy these candles.
Why do you smell so peachy tonight?
We appreciate you stopping by and saying hello to the men of CA. And thanks again for the investment that you've made into making it a point to be at our retreats and helping gather guys. We so appreciate that. Guys, thanks for listening. Have a wonderful Christmas celebration. We look forward to seeing you at our Christmas services December 21st and 22nd. And of course, our January 8th men's gathering and at our men's retreat in 2020. Until next time.